Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. Well, yesterday we zipped through a number of the verses of Ecclesiastes chapter 2 because prior to yesterday I was going too slowly through the first section, which was Solomon's investigation of the value of pleasure and wealth to see what things in that category added to the value of life. And he came to the conclusion that they added no lasting value. But that's section 1. Well, what about wisdom? Here's Solomon, who is, we are told in the Bible, the wisest man who ever lived. Certainly, here's a man that would value wisdom, that would recommend wisdom, and if there was anything that would add some value, some pleasure, some happiness, some fulfillment to life, surely it must be wisdom. All those other things, the mirth, the entertainment, the wine, the houses, the gardens and parks, the servants, the flocks and herds, the wealth, the music, the sex, the honor, the fame. That didn't do it. That certainly didn't do it. But surely acquiring wisdom, now that's surely worthwhile. That's surely going to add real value to life. That's going to make a real difference. That should be able to contribute some happiness and fulfillment to life. Well, let's see if that's the conclusion that Solomon draws. You really would expect that from him, but is that the conclusion that he comes to? And we shall find out as we continue in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Thank you for joining me on this Tuesday, July 14. Thank you for providing the financial help that we need in order to continue teaching God's Word on this station. Okay, he moves out of the first category, the category of pleasure and wealth, and tells us that that doesn't add any real lasting value to our lives. So then he turns to the area of wisdom. Here's what he said, verse 12. Then I turned myself to consider wisdom and madness and folly. In other words, to contrast wisdom on the one hand with folly, the opposite of wisdom, madness, the lack of logic and wisdom. He kind of lumps those two things together. And to investigate that area and find out what that adds to life. Surely there's going to be a big contrast between those. And from the person who pursues a life of folly because he scorns wisdom, he's certainly not going to be as happy and fulfilled, I would think. That would be my initial reaction, as the person who gives himself to wisdom. Well, Solomon said, I'm going to study this, just like I've studied these other areas. I'm going to study this. Then I turned myself to consider wisdom and madness and folly, for what can a man do who succeeds the king? Only what he has already done. Well, that's the investigation introduced. And then in verses 13 through 17, and this is a shorter section than the first one, he gives us his insights. And I'll read the section. We'll go back and look at the things that are said. Then I saw that wisdom excels folly, as light excels darkness. Well, that doesn't surprise us, does it? The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. Yet I myself perceived that the same event happens to them all. He seems to be walking back the advantage that he first describes. So I said in my heart, as it happened to the fool, it also happened to me. He, of course, is in the category of the wise. But as it happens to the fool, so it also happens to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity. For there is no more remembrance of the wise than of the fool forever, since all that now is will be forgotten in the days to come. And how does a wise man die? As the fool. Interesting conclusion. Not what I was expecting, and if I hadn't already studied this book and knew what Solomon said, but that I didn't see that one coming. So what do we have as Solomon investigates this area of wisdom to see if that's the thing that brings happiness and fulfillment in life, and if that's the thing that's really worthwhile, that one ought to devote his life to acquiring? He starts out, as we've seen, by describing the superiority of wisdom over folly. It certainly is superior. Back to verse 13. Then I saw that wisdom excels folly, as light excels darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, which is a idiomatic way of saying the wise man can see. The fool can't. That's what he's telling us. Wisdom excels folly, as light excels darkness. Light is certainly superior to darkness, and in light you can see where you're going, in darkness you can't. So he is likening wisdom to light and folly to darkness. And light is certainly better than darkness, particularly if you're trying to go anywhere or do anything. You want to do it in the light. You don't want to be doing it in the darkness. In the darkness, you're pretty likely to run into something, to injure yourself. It's just not going to work, particularly in the day in which Solomon lived, when they didn't have all of the artificial light that we have in our day. So darkness was really dark in his day, and to be stumbling around in the darkness was a real dangerous thing to be doing, and a problematic thing, to be sure. And so he says, it is true that wisdom excels folly like light excels darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head. He can see what he's doing. He understands life. He understands what's going on. The fool doesn't. Okay, the superiority of wisdom over folly. But then he tells us in verses 14 through 16 that death is the great leveler. Because death comes to every man, it doesn't favor the wise over the foolish. The wise man is not able to avoid death. He's not even able to postpone death. Death is going to take him at the time appointed, just like death is going to take the fool at the time appointed. Death is the great leveler. That's what he's saying in verses 14 and following. Yet I myself perceived that the same event happens to them all. What event? Death. So I said in my heart, as it happens to the fool, it also happens to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity. For there is no more remembrance of the wise than of the fool forever, since all that now is will be forgotten in the days to come. And how does a wise man die? As the fool. Interesting. But this is Solomon's observation. As a wise man, and as one who acknowledges that wisdom is better than folly and is going to give one certain advantages in life, and yet, as he observed life, he realized that there are a lot of wise men that he had in his kingdom, but on average, they didn't seem to live any longer than the foolish people he had in his kingdom. We look at that and we say, well, foolish people, in their folly, tend to end their lives earlier than the wise. Well, Solomon doesn't point that out here. He seems to see a great equalizer here. Death comes to every man, whether he's educated or uneducated, whether he's wise or foolish, whether he can see things clearly or whether he can't. Death is the great leveler. It comes to all men alike. And therefore, because that's true, the advantage of wisdom, and there is some advantage, but it's rather small and it's only temporary. Verse 17, therefore I hated life because the work that was done under the sun was distressing to me, for all is vanity and grasping for the wind. I hated life, or probably a better and more accurate translation would be to say, I came to dislike life when I realized that wisdom's advantage is canceled at death. The advantage is there, but it's temporary, and it's not as great as some people think. Now, people who enjoy study and who have pursued an education because they valued it and because they enjoy the world of academics, and we've all known some people who just seem to go from one degree to another. They never want to get out of school. They enjoy school so much. And others who have enough sense to acquire a good education, maybe at great cost and great labor, but at some point they bring the formal education to an end and they get on out into life and they use it for something. And we recognize that people like that really do have a certain measure of advantage in this world, and Solomon isn't saying that they don't. They can choose from careers, from job opportunities that are generally much more attractive, usually much more lucrative, and are not the kinds of pursuits that are likely to wear the body out. It's something that they can earn their living primarily with their mind, and that has a lot of advantages. There really are advantages to wisdom over folly, and Solomon doesn't deny that. He actually confirms that. That is the case. There is an advantage of wisdom over folly. Wisdom is superior to folly, just like light is superior to darkness, but as he tells us, I came to dislike this pursuit, this energetic pursuit of wisdom, when I realized that wisdom's advantage is canceled at death. At least when we're talking about secular wisdom, when we're talking about secular knowledge, obviously spiritual wisdom is a different issue, and he'll talk about that eventually, later. But what we call secular wisdom and knowledge, when the day of death comes, it really didn't produce any advantage at that point. There's none at all. And therefore, it may be that the labor involved, the work involved in acquiring that wisdom in life, turns out to be maybe wasted to some degree, not completely, but largely wasted. It may have been better spent on doing something else, because in the final analysis, the wise man dies and the foolish man dies, and they both go to the grave, and there's no difference in them after their death. Well, interesting. Tomorrow we'll continue on. Thank you for joining me. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.